Welcome to Throwing Darts, the podcast where we talk to golfers at every level to figure out how to actually get better one handicap at a time. I'm Cameron McAllister, and today we're talking about one of the biggest jumps in golf, breaking 90. What actually changes when you go from a mid-handicap golfer to someone who consistently shoots in the 80s? And today's guest, Rhett Souders, has done exactly that, and he's played one of the toughest public courses in the country multiple times and excelled at it, Torrey Pines Golf Course. So we'll get into that too. The biggest milestones in golf, and honestly, one of the most misunderstood. A lot of golfers think it means you have to start making birdies, hitting perfect shots, or suddenly becoming a completely different player. But the reality is, most golfers never get there consistently. According to the United States Golf Association, the average male handicap sits around 14, meaning a typical score is in the low 90s. So breaking 90 isn't just a good round, it's a real jump into a different level of golf. And if you look even deeper at the numbers, it gets more interesting. A mid-handicap golfer, let's say round 15, will average somewhere between 6 to 8 penalty strokes per round. That's balls out of bounds, watered hazards, unplayables, strokes that don't just cost one shot, but usually two. Compare that to single-digit handicap, and that number drops to maybe 1 or 2. That alone is the difference between shooting a 94 and an 88. And here's the part most people get wrong. It's not about how good your best shots are, it's about how bad your worst shots are. If you look at scoring breakdowns, you can shoot 89 without making a single birdie. That's basically bogey golf with a couple pars mixed in. You hit 7 or 8 greens, maybe have 32 to 34 putts and avoid big numbers, and suddenly you're in the 80s. No hero shots, no miracle rounds, just control. Which means the difference isn't flashy, it's just discipline. It's avoiding penalties, keeping the ball in play. It's understanding that a 150-yard shot to the middle of the green is better than a risky pin-hunting shot that brings bunkers or other trouble into play. It's turning doubles into bogeys and bogeys into pars when you can. And maybe the biggest stat of all, golfers trying to break 90 typically average at least one double bogey or worse every 3 holes. And better players, they might go that entire round without one. And when you take that type of game to a course like Torrey Pines Golf Course, a place that punishes every mistake you make, you really start to see who actually has control over their game. Narrow fairways, thick rough, long approaches, there's just no hiding out there. If you're spraying the ball, you're making big numbers. If you're thinking your way around the course, managing misses and playing smart, you can survive. Because at the end of the day, breaking 90 isn't about perfect golf. It's about playing smart golf, making choices that won't blow up your scorecard, and knowing your game. So today, I'm joined by a 4-handicap golfer who's already made that jump, and we're going to break down what exactly changes when you go from hoping to breaking 90 to expecting it. And joining me today is Rhett Souders, a former top junior golfer from San Diego who's played a lot of high-level golf, and he has a ton of insight into what actually helps players improve. He's currently playing club golf at UCLA, and Rhett, I really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Good to be here talking, and yeah, just want to help share my insight to the growing game of golf today.
Yes, sir. And just to get your toes in the water here on this podcast, I want to start off with a little this or that. And to start it off, 8-foot putt drain or sandy par save?
Going to go with the sandy par save. That just starts so much momentum off to your round.
Yes, sir. What about morning tea time or twilight tea time?
I'm going to go in the summers. It's got to be twilight, but in the winter, you got to go for that morning tea time.
Yep. And turn snack after 9 holes.
Has to be that dog. That hot dog just gets you right for the back 9.
Yes, sir. Favorite club?
I'm going to go my 50-degree gap wedge.
Okay. Driving or riding the golf cart?
Got to go walking. It's just really what makes the game actually a sport.
All right. I like that answer. Golf ball of choice?
Lately, I've been just going with the Pro V1. It's been so reliable for me.
Yep. 18 pars or 9 birdies, 9 bogeys?
I'm going to go 18 pars. I cannot handle myself if I had a 9 bogey round. So,
yeah, that would be tough. Your favorite course in San Diego?
got to be Torrey Pines. Just such a classic. So neat. Such a challenge.
Yep. Ball marker or golf tee?
Ball marker. have to do it. You can't have that tee and blocking other people's putts and stuff like that. Just get a ball marker.
Yep, consistent fade or consistent draw?
Yeah, that fade cut's been really working for me lately, so I'm gonna go with that.
All right,
A lot
and
easier to
last.
control.
All right, and last question, your favorite hole at Torrey Pines?
Gotta be hole six on the South Course, the dogleg right par five. You just with that wind coming off the ocean, there's just always a chance to get there in two. I haven't had an eagle yet, but I've had quite a bit of birdies.
Yes, sir. So thank you for doing that. And once again, I really appreciate you coming on. Today's episode, of course, is Breaking 90. So I think a lot of the golfers listening to here are really going to benefit from what you have to say. So just tell us a little bit about what your current handicap is and how did you get there?
Yeah, so I'm sitting right above a plus two. It's ever been since COVID when I really started to get into the game. I'd taken lessons before when I was younger, but couldn't play team sports my whole life. Couldn't do that during COVID. With you and some of our already other buddies, we really got into it during COVID. And yeah, I'd say junior year of high school was when I really started to improve. I was playing every day, either at the range or playing nine holes at our municipal course. And that was the first time I remember I shot two under on nine holes at our municipal course. So, yeah, ever since then, just playing a bunch during the summers, that's been huge. That's always when my game's been trending up the most. And yeah, it's been quite a journey, and the game is just so great.
Yeah, definitely. And I looked into a couple of your recent scores from the UCLA club golf team, especially when you guys went down and played Steel Canyon in San Diego. You shot 72 and followed that up with an even better 71. So to help you, and again, your game has really improved over the last couple of years. It's very impressive. What's the biggest change that helped you starting to break 90 consistently and something that is still implemented in your game as you shoot those good scores at Steel Canyon?
Yeah, I think a big thing for me was really just turning it on irons wise, hitting a lot more greens. That's not obviously a breaking 90 thing, but that's starting to become a good golfer, like a great golfer, giving yourselves looks, hitting greens in regulation, and then two putting. There's just nothing wrong with ever getting a par. That was the big thing for me. Always playing those par three courses as well around San Diego. There's so many beautiful ones, like just getting your wedges dialed in, that short game, putting pressure on yourself to continue to want to shoot as under par as possible. I can think of one time I went out with a few of our buddies and shot six under through nine holes at one of those par three courses. So yeah, just getting that short game dialed in, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, and I guess it's definitely really important. You talk about the short game, and definitely important to talk a little bit about putting and two putting. Is that what are some of the biggest tips that you can provide for just playing smart golf, as I mentioned before?
Yeah, I mean, not just a lot of I'd say average beginner golfers, they're just always going to want to aim at the pin. You're going to want to be aiming more towards the center of the green, maybe more slightly just adjusted to that pin, not always pin hunting, hitting more greens. And I will say a good tip for those looking to break 90, a big thing is putting, those two putting lag putts, speed control. A great drill to work on is to just go like 50 feet and from the edge of the green and try to just roll a few putts to get them to rest as close to the edge of the green as possible. That's really a drill that helped me down speed at certain courses.
Yeah, it's definitely important. I mean, you see so many guys out there, they're putting the driver in the fairway and doing a good job approaching the green, and you just have those blow up holes on the green. You just can't have that with putting. You see even on the tour statistics, but it just really translates as well to the more amateur golf level, being able to consistently two putt and those strokes around the green really add up. So I guess maybe that transitions, but what is the most common mistake that you see from these players trying to break 90 that might just really destroy their round?
Yeah, I'd say it's I mean, there's a difference. There are going to be guys that are just out there to have a fun time. They're just having a good time with their buddies on a weekend. But if you really want your game to improve, sometimes in golf it's not about doing the fun thing, not taking that 3 wood out on that par five, when in reality those amateur golfers, there's almost a close to none chance they're actually going to get like an eagle or a birdie. So just taking that iron they're comfortable with, maybe that 7 iron, that 8 iron, just hitting it about 100 yards short of the green, anywhere they're comfortable with a wedge. It just makes the game a lot easier. Once again, if you're looking to break 90, it's not all about it's you don't need a par every hole. You don't even need birdies. You just need a par a few and not have any blow up holes.
Yeah, 100%. And it's so important to really not have those blow up holes. I talked about it a little bit early. You don't need to have any birdies to break 90. It's just all
You do
pars,
not.
or excuse me, all bogeys and a couple pars mixed in there. So it's really not about playing hero golf. It's just about playing smart. And I definitely want to talk a little bit about the Torrey Pines Golf Course, which is one that is extremely important that you play smart. So what was your first experience playing Torrey Pines like, and how has that kind of changed now that you're obviously better than scratch golfer and putting up some very solid scores there, like just two over in your recent match with the club team?
Yeah, so I just say it's a very humbling course. I think the first time I played it, sophomore year of high school, on the varsity team, I couldn't hit the ball very far, but we'd still play from the tips, only maybe 20 yards up a hole from where they're playing the US Open. So it's definitely quite the challenge. I think I remember I might have shot like a 47 on 9 holes and was just so happy to break 50. Despite having a triple bogey on the last on that ninth hole, it was still just quite an accomplishment to be able to stay at barely worse than bogey golf. And fast forward to now, I mean, it's such a humbling course. Like, I'll play other courses around the LA area, and I just take driver out on every hole. And whereas sometimes at Torrey, I mean, it is a longer course. I'm probably gonna be wanting to do the same, but instead of just grip and rip, sometimes you have to hit more of that cut shot to just make sure you're in the fairway, because especially around winter time, that rough, it pretty much turns into a hazard.
So thick.
But one thing I will say is a big thing about Torrey that you sometimes just have to humble yourself with is, as our high school coach said, it's not that hard to make a bogey. So sometimes you just got to punch out, chip onto the green, give yourself a chance at par, but worst case scenario, just take that bogey and move on to the next.
Yeah, cannot be playing too much hero golf out of those tough positions.
Yeah, especially on that thick rough, it's not easy.
Yeah, you talked about it a little bit, but on courses like Torrey and others with just similar difficulty, how differently do you have to think on a course like that? And what's the mindset when you know that you might have to just take a couple bogeys here and there, punch out, not go for the hero shots all the time?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot different of a mindset. I talked earlier about like those par three courses can sometimes be very good for getting your mindset to keep going, whereas Torrey Pines is not like that. You play a lot of regular par 72 courses and you can just grip and rip driver. It's wide open and try to pin seek every hole because the greens are big and it's not punishing. Where a lot of times at Torrey, you might have a bad tee shot and it's like, okay, I'm just going to try to have to get this around the green and try to squeak out of here with a par, and you're mainly just looking to birdie those par fives. Other than that, there aren't too many holes you can really go for it.
Yeah, definitely. And you talk about it's tough to find your ball in the rough at Torrey Pines. You might need extra in your bag. And speak of extra balls and clubs, this episode of Throwing Darts is brought to you by Titleist. Whether you're trying to break 100 or finally get into the 80s, having clubs and balls that you trust really makes a difference. So play what better players trust and start throwing more darts. 10% off Pro V1s and save $50 when using code DARTS, all caps, on the new 2026 GT3 driver. Thank you, Titleist, for sponsoring this video. And Rhett, yeah, really enjoyed hearing some of your insight. Going to end it off here with our throwing dart segment, ask you a couple questions. And the first one, what distance do you feel the most confident from?
I'm going to say it has to be that 110 to 100 range, not even taking a full shot, but just having that my 50 degree gap wedge in my hand, my favorite club. I can spin it the most. I just feel super comfortable with it in hand.
Yeah, we talked a little bit earlier about just being smart. And I think something that a lot of amateur golfers might not realize is how important it is to have those 50%, 70% wedge shots when you're that close of a distance so that you can really control the spin, not just walking up to the ball and trying to swing out of your shoes 110% to throw a good shot.
Yeah, 100%. That's a lot of the game is short game. I mean, you're going to at most hit like 14 drives in a round, whereas you could have 18 to 20 wedges, especially as an amateur. It's just going to be all about getting it close to the green, getting it on that putting surface, and getting out of holes with either a par or a bogey.
Yep, and you said about 110 yards is your go-to dart yardage. Where do you feel maybe completely uncomfortable over the ball right now?
Got to be right around that 220-ish range, kind of range, maybe 210, where I'm kind of in between 4 iron hybrid. I'd almost rather be like 20, 30 yards back, 250. I've hit a few greens and under regulation this season, just having that 3 wood in my hand. Whereas when I get in that 210, 220 range, not sure if I want to try to run one up with a 4 iron or maybe try to play a cut with the hybrid. It
Yeah.
can sometimes be a difficult decision.
Yeah, 100%. It's tough. And last question, did you ever feel like you were throwing darts at Torrey Pines, or is that just survival?
I mean, you definitely have some time still. You're throwing darts. I mean, there's still a few par fours right around 400 yards. You crack a drive, like you're going to be looking to want to give yourself a chance.
Yeah.
But I mean, either way, no matter, as long as you put your drive in play on those par fives, like you're always going to have a chance to try to get a birdie. Those par threes are very long, some well over 200 yards. That's a lot of times when you're just surviving. And then even those
Yep.
par fours that could reach 450 to even close to 500 yards, those are the holes that you're just trying to survive.
Yeah, 100%. It's a really tough course. And that's going to do it for today's episode of Throwing Darts. The biggest takeaway is that better golfers don't do more, they just make fewer mistakes. Huge thanks to Rhett Souders for coming on. And if you enjoyed this episode, follow the show and share it with someone trying to break 90. Next week, we're going to dive into the short game where most golfers are actually losing strokes. But until then, keep it in the fairway and start throwing darts. Rhett, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Have a good one, Kim.
Next time, guys.